It's that time of week again. We have a podcast that you can listen to. In this episode, we laugh, we cry, and we just learn a lot about acting. And not acting, a little bit about acting, voice acting, and how to write a good little short story. We've got a guest, very good guest. Very excited about this episode. Just stay tuned, give it a listen, and pay us money. No.
Hello, I am Adam Ganong.
And I'm Jenna Noor.
And you're listening to The Rules Podcast.
It's an improv writing podcast where we workshop, write, and perform stories, all while following a set of rules.
When we can.
When we can.
No, we always follow the rules.
We always follow the rules.
So we need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenna, we have a guest.
Do we? Is that who that is?
It's your guest.
Did I schedule
it? Did we not schedule this person?
Ooh.
Is this a stranger in our apartment?
I can leave. I saw the lights on and the door is open. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just come in. But I mean, I'm already here.
That's true.
He is already here. He makes a strong argument.
Okay. How about this? I'll read the bio that I have in front of me.
Mm.
You tell me if this sounds like you.
Right.
Okay.
This is like 20 questions, but way easier.
Sure. So our guest today is Rodrigo Flores. He is a theater critic and a member of the Canadian Theater Critics Association. Rodrigo founded Joyful Magpies, an online theater review publication. Ring any bells?
This is... What a coincidence. That's me to a T.
It's you?
It's me!
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Great.
Very good.
The universe has provided for us today, Adam, and it has provided a wonderful guest for us to have on the rules.
So it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me here tonight.
No problem. Thank you for being here.
Walking into our apartment.
We need to start locking the door.
Yes.
That's what I'm learning from this experience.
Probably. The last guest we had also founded his own online publication. So,
yes.
Yeah, little thing running between episodes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool. So, Rodrigo.
Yes.
We have known each other many years.
Yes, many years.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this the other day, and I feel like there's probably not many people who I still know and talk to today that I've known as long as I've known you.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. I mean, because I think we've known each other since like elementary school.
Grade one.
Great one.
So we're looking at 19 years, 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is two decades.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So take stock of those 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And Rodrigo, I've known you for a solid like half hour.
Yeah.
Things are going well. I think.
I think so.
Are they going well?
I think everything's going swimmingly.
Okay. That's good. I was pretty nervous there, so I'm glad.
I mean, it's not 20 years.
No. Yeah, that's true. So get on our level, Adam.
Okay. And Rodrigo, I've heard you can do some very good character voices. Not to make you blush or anything, but I've heard rumors.
Oh, jeez. From time to time. I'll practice. I'll practice in the mirror. even though a mirror doesn't have anything to do with it.
Just watching your own lips, like, yeah, some good lip movement right there. I nailed it this time.
I really like working voices or just people I hear talking or just characters from movies and TV and just I just like to practice it and I don't know, it's a weird hobby, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's a hobby. Yeah.
Yeah. I love your voice for your mother whenever you tell stories about your mother. That's one of my favorites.
I hope she doesn't listen to this.
All right. Adam.
Yes?
So.
Yeah.
I've selected three rules for us to follow when we write our stories today.
Ooh, that's good because we are on a podcast called The Rules.
We are on a podcast called The Rules, which means we follow the rules.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I chose three different rules submitted by three different people, and I'm hoping that they will create a nice little discussion for us afterward when we're thinking about what we're going to write about. So our first rule comes from Cameron on Facebook. You must write a story about a scuba diver who commits their life to being able to live underwater without having to surface.
Tricky, but interesting. I really like this one. It's one of my favorites that we've done. Next rule, submitted by Jessica, also on Facebook. You must write about an extreme weather event. And I think that we can all relate to that as of right now.
Yeah.
Yes. Very timely. Another storm probably coming tonight.
Oh, yeah. Gonna be a real big storm, you know. I'm gonna have to be out there and gonna have to shovel them or use this whole snow blower, but I don't know, you know, it's gonna be coming down pretty hard. It's gonna be coming right down there, boys.
Yeah, it's all right though, you know. We got Gerald next door. He sometimes comes around with a scoop and gets it all cleared up.
There's a young fellow over just across the ways, and he's got his truck, you know, and so he'll just push it all to the side there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I got myself a liquor store, got myself a 40.
That's how you're braving the storm, a little bit of some storm chips there.
Uh-huh.
Some hashtag storm chips, I do believe they're called.
Yes, I believe that is the scientific name for them.
The Latin name.
Yes, the Latin name.
The Christian name.
That's the proper nomenclature.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, our third rule comes from Laura, again on Facebook. You must include a reference to Indonesia.
And I know Laura, and she currently lives in Indonesia. So
shout outs to Indonesia.
Wow. Yeah, shout outs to Indonesia.
All our Indonesian listeners.
Yes, we do have some because she listens.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So does her husband. So.
Exactly.
And that's the rules. The Indonesia one is a bit of a wrench. So I'm gonna say this. I've already said this to Jenna earlier today. One of my thoughts though was someone is living in the submarine because they want to avoid all weather, and so they're living in the submarine so that they can avoid all the weather outside.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. So you're thinking, does this person live alone? What are you thinking?
I didn't give it that much thought. Lives in a submarine. I guess in my mind, yeah, alone, like a hermitage kind of person.
Okay.
I feel like a person who wants to avoid all weather completely is probably going to be a little bit of a hermit kind of character.
Yeah.
It's true.
But maybe they don't want to be totally alone. So you got like a robotic buddy. Like an AI down there they talk to.
I like that idea. Ooh.
And it was made in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm. It was made in Indonesia.
It was mass produced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be good. Have you ever seen the movie Moon? Either of you?
Yeah, Moon.
Yes, it's like the smiley robot on the moon base.
And it just flickers emoticons for you can read the facial expressions.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, I like this idea. I like any,
but it's a no-name one, so it doesn't have actual emoticons. It just has the text versions of them.
Sad.
Yeah. Or it just will flash. Yeah. It'll flash the emotion that it's feeling.
Right. Oh, that'd be good.
Compassion.
Compassion.
I was kind of thinking, my initial thought through all of these would be maybe that an extreme weather event had happened at home. Mm-hmm. And so now this person who has been living underwater, their family is like, we really need you to come home and like help us put the farm back together because it was destroyed in that tornado.
Oh.
And so then they have to grapple with like, do I want to go home to my family? Or like, I've built this life for myself down here, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
I like that one as well. Marine biologist or something. So they...
Ooh, I never really thought about that. That would be interesting if it's like, yeah, if somebody's down there for their work.
And so they've committed to this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, maybe they have like a research obligation. Mm. They like have to be there for like 5 years or else all their data will be bunk. And so then they're like trying to,
it's like,
to grapple with like, ooh.
It's like Biodome with Pauly Shore and Stephen Baldwin.
I'm not familiar with this work. Please enlighten me.
I've heard of it before. I've never seen
it. Biodome is a great movie.
Okay.
Possibly the greatest movie.
I'm gonna say yes, it's quite a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Biodome is essentially just that. Is these scientists lock themselves in a biodome, so it's a self-sustaining dome.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pauly Shore, and I think it's Stephen Baldwin.
Okay.
They sneak in, and they're these two zany college guys, and throw a whole wrench into the thing, and hilarity ensues.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they sneak in? What do they want to get out of this?
I can't remember why, but Kylie Minogue is actually in the movie. She's one of the scientists. Fun fact.
Okay, That's very interesting. Yeah.
Does this whole movie only have four characters in it? Please tell me yes.
No, but
okay.
You see some of the outside world, but anyway.
Okay.
I recommend that.
That'd be good. It's like a bottle movie where it's just all one set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Going off of that, I was also just thinking about The Martian as well.
Ah, mm. Yes.
Just that image of like Matt Damon being thrown in the windstorm and then having to like live out of the habitat by himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like being alone on another planet. It's like a very, it's a reminiscent experience of being alone underwater, I think.
Yeah. Are we talking an ocean on Earth?
Mm.
This is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about someone who went over to, I don't know, colonize another planet?
Mm.
And he's avoiding the extreme weather on the surface.
Yeah. It'd be so funny if in this story, it was like the scientists in NASA, they've been looking for water for so long, but then they were like, oh, look, there's that huge river we keep missing. So there's a ton of water there. And then they go and like, they just put submarines there, but there's like sandstorms and stuff. So that's the extreme weather.
Mm.
But it's just like,
it's a really harsh planet that also has water.
Yeah. They've just accidentally missed this one river this whole time.
Oh.
They just keep blinking when the satellite goes over that part of Mars.
Yeah.
It's a long blink.
They take their break at the same time every day.
Yeah,
it's like the
yeah.
same time that the satellite passes over that part
extend
of Mars.
The coffee break.
Yeah.
Rodrigo, do you have any like of your own ideas you've like thought of off of this? I want to give you a chance
yeah,
to
okay. so,
flex your muscles here.
Mm-hmm.
So we have someone who's committed to his lifestyle to life underwater.
Yeah.
And we have to write about extreme weather.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to include Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I'm thinking. I feel like, if you want to, bear with me.
Okay.
Oh, we will bear with you.
This extreme weather
mm-hmm.
is a metaphor.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I like it.
This is an English degree at work.
Yes.
The extreme weather is a metaphor for the human nature. And
ooh.
So he just wants to isolate himself mm-hmm. from everything, the tumultuous happenings of the surface.
Mm, a little
so
bit
he's,
of that.
He's a loner.
A little bit of, is that Faulkner?
Yeah.
Turning
yeah.
and turning yeah. and the widening guy or the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Yeah. I believe that's Faulkner.
He's trying to avoid the winds of change.
Mm. Ooh, winds of change. Yeah. That's good.
And so he's chosen to do so all the way in Indonesia. He saw a lot of brochures. He said, you know, he's thinking this person who's committed his life. He said, I don't want to just commit my life, you know, in the sea, just anywhere. I want to go to Indonesia. So maybe that's it. So instead of the usual that people do, like, hey, I'd like to, you know, backpack across Europe or you know, so on. I want to live my life underwater in Indonesia.
Mm.
And it's a quiet study. It's a quiet study of one man who lives underwater.
Mm.
Yeah, I do like that. That has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. It has a lot of potential and a lot of great potential to get a good performance out of you.
Yes.
When we come back from our writing break.
I feel like it'd make a pretty strong monologue of like him being mm-hmm. underwater, like a captain's log kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or him writing in his diary. Or talking to his robot bud.
Yeah. Mm.
Explain to me again why you are living underwater.
Plot twist.
Oh.
Robot buddy. Isn't working.
He's been projecting the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh.
Now I need your story to have this in it, or I'll be really upset.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
No fresh.
Ooh.
Also, just to fact check myself, the widening gyre. That's Yeats.
Yeats.
Not Faulkner. Yeats.
Of course.
The second coming.
Of course.
Things fall apart. The center cannot hold.
Young Yeatsy. I believe his proper name is. His Christian name.
Christian name, yeah.
Here's a quick question. Tsunami. Does that count as an extreme weather event?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's a pitch.
All right.
So there's a dude who's lived his entire life underwater,
mm-hmm.
and he's very, very bad at checking his instruments and seeing where he's actually at. He just likes being underwater. And then one day, there's a lot of shaking and rumbling, and he doesn't know what's going on. And he finally goes and checks, and it turns out that there was a tsunami, and he was just thrown on land. So he's been on land for a very long time, and he didn't know. And he's, like, in Indonesia.
Yeah.
And it'd just be funny, this event of him opening and then being like, what?
People keep, like, knocking on
yeah.
it. And he's just like, wow, he's, like, the dolphin's really trying to get in here
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
just,
and
like, chuckling
and it's,
himself.
Like, a little shrine. Like, people have put stuff all over, and it's all graffiti.
Yeah.
There's buildings built around it.
Yeah, it's just like a monument to the tsunami that like ravaged these shores, and they're just like trying to rebuild. And then he pops out one day.
Oh, this is the thing. It happened so long ago, but he thinks he's still underwater because people will like rock it to like try and get him to come out. It's like, whoa, yeah. Rough seas
right
today.
Current, yeah.
Also, another possible thing. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever heard the story? I don't know too well, but there was a National Geographic photographer who spent years and years around this one tiger because it was like a very shy animal and he needed it to like get used to his presence so it would come out and he could take pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that same thing, but it's like a creature underwater. So that's why this guy's living underwater for so long. He wants to like get it acclimated to himself.
Mm-hmm.
However, then he gets a call from his parents that are like, hey, our farm's destroyed. Come back, s'il vous plaît.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, ooh, do I leave or do I stay?
Yeah. Mm. Or he gets a call from his like supervisor at National Geographic who's like, hey, there's a tsunami. Like there's been an earthquake near your location. We think that a tsunami might suck you inshore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the conflict is like, do I try and stay? Like, do I think I will be able to get this picture today, or should I motor out of here and try and go back to shore?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or he gets a call from Matt Damon, and Damon's like, yo, my movie The Martian's coming out, my man. Come to shore. I got your premiere tickets. And he's like, oh, do I go with the dames, or like, what do I do? Yeah, they're tight.
Okay.
They're really tight.
Mm-hmm.
I sense like a Moby Dick sort of thing going on.
That's good.
Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So
like a bit of an Ahab's pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
White whale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a white whale.
Maybe it's a white whale.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a white whale.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's... No, that doesn't work.
Okay.
It's a white whale
named... You gave
it
your best.
Yeah.
It's a white whale named Indonesia. There we go.
Or to go back to using your English degree, Indonesia is a white whale that this person has been pursuing.
Right.
It's like their dream is to live in Indonesia.
They're very bad at navigation.
Yeah. And that they've just been underwater for years. They stubbornly took the submarine to save money.
And there's like one place that they keep accidentally showing up at. So like, it's like the same scene. They surface and they hop out and they're like, is this Indonesia? It's like, nope, still Hawaii, man. So sorry. You keep coming to this beach, though.
We watch your periscope. We know that you're literally just circling Oahu.
I knew I should have turned left at Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, a famous city known for being on the coast.
Yes. Oh, man.
I love that. Oh, any final thoughts? How are people feeling?
Feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I really like this word, quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quiet... you know, study of. I just feel like whenever you have nothing else left to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just use the word quiet,
mm-hmm.
or you contrast it. You know, it was a violent silence.
That's actually the name of my pop punk band.
Ooh.
So
Adam,
kudos to me.
I didn't know you had a pop punk band. I just confided in you yesterday that I used to be a bit of a scenester.
Yes.
We could have been talking about this.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot about them until right now when I heard the name and I came up with the band.
Ooh, well, I look forward to buying your album and moshing at your show.
Well, I will need to write it, but I'll get on that.
Okay.
Anyone want to be in a pop punk band?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if nobody has any final thoughts, I say we take a little break,
mm-hmm.
do an ad,
ooh,
then we come back and see what everybody wrote.
Great. Done deal.
Sound good?
Yes.
See you soon.
See you soon. You hang up first.
No, you hang up first. How do I hang up? Hey, Adam, welcome to the ads.
Thank you. Glad to be here, as always.
Mm. Now, from our podcast, I know that you like writing stories.
Yes.
But do you also like reading stories and hearing stories?
Yes.
Ooh, then I have very good news about today's sponsor. It's Audible!
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know them.
Oh, yeah. You've heard
of them? I'm tight with them.
Uh-huh. You're tight with them?
Uh-huh.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah, they send me emails.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, for listeners of The Rules, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service.
Ooh.
Mm. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 playing device.
Yeah, I've got a lot of those.
Oh, yeah? That's good.
Yeah, I collect them.
Oh, yeah. They are kind of taking over the studio. Actually, I was meaning to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're going to do kind of a vinyl thing later on. Like the hipsters will be like, oh, yeah, you listen to that on like whatever, like intergalactic HD 3D audio. I only listen on MP3. I like the audio quality.
Okay, well,
I'll have all the audio, all the MP3s.
Yeah, but until the MP3 like renaissance, can we put those in a storage unit maybe?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that'd be great. So, Rodrigo has stepped out of the studio, but he left us a book recommendation before he left.
Yes, and I'm so glad.
Yes. So, Rodrigo would like everybody to listen to Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel, read by Kirsten Potter. Now, this book is a great choice for Rodrigo. It's a natural choice for him. It's about a Shakespearean theater troupe traveling across Canada. They're in the Midwest, they're in the Great Lakes region, and they're just trying to make it happen.
So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/the rules. Again, it's audibletrial.com/the rules for your free, again, free. Another quick interjection. I don't know if you know how much audiobooks cost, but they are really expensive.
They're expensive.
This is like, you're going to go there and you are going to get like a free $40 product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. Like, think about really quick. If someone sat you down and said, read this book out loud to me in its entirety, how much would you make them pay you to like do that? It'd be a lot of money because it's going to take you a lot of time. Mm-hmm.
At least minimum wage. And so if we're considering that an audiobook's about 8 hours, that's like $80. That's an $80 value.
Yeah.
So we're saving you money is what we're saying.
Go read this. Go get this book.
Listening to this podcast is making you rich. Yeah, that's our guarantee.
All right, let's see how the stories went.
Here we are again.
All right. So writing, how did it go? Rodrigo, have you ever done something like this before, writing in 15-minute sprint?
No, I haven't. So this is great. This is actually, this is quite an exercise in creativity.
Yes.
15 minutes. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
So what did you feel? Do you think it made you more creative? Did you find it hard?
I work very well with deadlines and pressure.
Mm-hmm. I assume you're used to that.
Yeah. I struggled at the beginning, but then I was like, time's ticking. All these ideas start coming and then you just start writing and it's great. Mm, yeah. Nice. How about you, Jenna? How was it for you?
It went really well for me. Yeah. I'm like not super sold on my ending, but I think I came up with an interesting premise. I'll talk a little bit more about it when we perform our stories, but I took a little bit of inspiration from our conversation before. Right. Just our casual conversation.
Nice. Mm-hmm. It's always nice when that happens.
Yes, it is. And you, Adam?
Mine went pretty well.
That's good.
So the problem with mine, though, again, was the ending. I feel it was pretty weak. Mm-hmm. But so I went with the idea of the tidal wave.
Okay.
So you've got the submarine underwater. The water was rough. In the sea, a tempest, the likes of which Dr. Marion Woodsley had never seen. Not that she saw many due to her extreme apathy of checking her instruments. The sea was doing its best to get the foreign object, which was Dr. Woodsley's submarine, out. The sea succeeded. Woodsley had been underwater for a total of 5 years now and had intended to never leave. Can you blame her? Just look at the world outside. Not nice. She was a marine biologist and had been underwater trying to find examples of the South Indonesian great moose whale shark traveling in herds. She was the foremost expert on them. Now, if the name sounds made up, that's because it was. There was no such thing. What Dr. Woodsley was actually doing was reading and catching up on TV shows she'd missed while she was in grad school. She'd found the surface to be unagreeable and so had retreated to the aqua confines of the ocean as a sort of retreat. Once she got there, she found that she did not miss the surface at all. She had been given a grant to find this fictional creature. No one had thought to question whether or not it was real. After all, she was the leading expert on it. And how could she be the leading expert on something that wasn't real? Impossible, no? So, she took the grant money and went underwater. She still did experiments. She found a herd of dolphins once and played My Chemical Romance through the speakers. Conclusion? Dolphins don't mind My Chemical Romance. I'm not going to explain the whole experiment. It's pretty high-level stuff. The day the submarine was thrown to land, she'd been deep into Gilmore Girls Season 5. She was also projecting it outside onto a reef to see what jellyfish thought. Conclusion? They don't seem to think much. Despite the extreme impact of the wave picking her up and carrying her towards the shore, she hadn't noticed. She was too enveloped in the show. It was weeks before she'd noticed she'd been thrown ashore. The locals would knock on the side, rock the sub back and forth, and yell to see if anyone was inside. "My, the dolphins sound different," Dr. Woodsley had said. After finishing Breaking Bad, she thought of another experiment and went to the observatory to see what exactly whales thought of the works of Kenny G. She didn't get a chance to find this out, but they're huge fans. She was surprised to see a small Indonesian boy squinting back through the glass at her. He waved, and she waved back, shocked. She went back to her room and went to sleep, because obviously this was all a dream. There's no way that she could one moment be in the ocean and the next not be. But as you and I know, and she was about to find out, it was not a dream. When she woke and the cruel reality hit her, she got out. "Woodsley!" Oscar Maynard yelled. He was one of the heads of the International Aquatic Foundation. He'd heard about her sub beaching and came to investigate. He looked worried. "I was worried," he said, confirming my last sentence. "What have you been doing?" he asked. "Research," Woodsley said. She was quickly overtaken with a feeling of agoraphobia as she looked at the wide blue sky. "Ah, yes, the South Indonesian great moose whale shark. Anything conclusive?" he asked. Woodsley shook her head. "Shame," he said. "I didn't expect to see this again," she said. You were worried by the tsunami." Woodsley, still in shock by the whole event, didn't know about the tsunami yet. "Yes," she said. She climbed back into the sub and wondered how the real estate market had been doing. She gathered up her documents on various media forms and aquatic reactions and wondered if they'd be able to get published.
Media forms and aquatic reactions. Great phrase.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I like the flow.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the flow.
Yeah.
The rhythm of the structure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you very much. We'll talk about it later. We'll move on to some more stories.
Okay. Rodrigo, unless you're burning to go, I will go next.
I'll read.
Sure. Oh, I see the title. I'm so excited.
Can I say the title?
Yes. Give us the preamble. Give us the title. This is interesting. Usually we don't have titles for our stories on this show.
Yeah, mine is almost always called Untitled Document.
And mine is always,
always
labeled Jenna.
All right. I thought about too much. But I will say that the Earth is, this is quite some time in the near future.
Okay.
So we're looking at, in the near future, and we're looking at, this could be anywhere in North America, but it's about one man. And the story is called The Violent Silence.
Oh, yeah. Too good.
So good.
The store had sold Robert on his new robotic companion by assuring him that it was built to last. Only the best hardware inside, the salesperson had promised him. So he bought it right there and then with his credit card. He had also bought many other expensive things that day. Robert had no intention of paying the credit card bill. Tomorrow, he thought to himself, I am going to be a free man. It was the 6-month anniversary of Robert's lonely voyage underwater. Supplies had become short. Emergency protocols were already being executed, and there were no solutions anywhere to find in Robert's starving mind. He had left everything behind for life under the sea. Just like the song, he told himself. He, of course, didn't fool himself into thinking that life underwater would be exceptional. It was just the necessary thing to do. The planet had become too hot, and so the storms had only grown more devastating and also more frequent. And life at home wasn't exactly peaceful either. Robert asked himself one day, what's it all matter? He flipped through old tourism brochures of Indonesia. Indonesia. That was many years ago that he had promised himself to leave everything behind and start fresh, away from everyone and everything. He was, unfortunately, afraid of flying. But water? He had always been comfortable in water. So he saved his money. Well, as much as he could anyway, with all the repairs that needed to be made on his home, and learned as much as he could about building a vessel capable of sustaining life indefinitely. It would all be worth it, he encouraged himself. It was 7 months and 3 days from when Robert had left home. His vessel had begun crashing towards the ocean floor. His robotic companion's monitor was still frozen. Large and insulting on the monitor were the words, "Smile." Robert laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed. "I wish I had laughed more," he thought to himself. Moments later, there was a violent silence.
Ooh. You know it's good when the title is a line from the thing.
Yeah. He said it.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, and you have such a command. Woo! Such a commanding voice.
Yes.
Such an enthralling performance.
Oh,
man. I have a little bit of an complex to do with not feeling good about myself. Because every single time someone comes on this show, they're always 100% better at this show than me.
I mean, look what happened to me.
Yeah.
I came on this show as a guest.
And now you're the host.
I never left.
Oh, that was very good.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Got a bunch of things to say about it. Jenna Noor,
Jenna,
what do you got for us?
Sure. So, after writing this, I have a new rule for myself for our next episode.
Okay.
Which is that I can't write monologues anymore. I always write monologues. They're always first person observations of things that are happening, or like sort of internal monologues. So that's a challenge that I'm going to throw just to myself the next time we record. All right. Adam, I think my story is most similar to yours.
Okay.
So it's about a researcher who is living on the ocean floor.
Mm-hmm.
And things are maybe about to go south.
Okay.
It's not so bad down here most days. I haven't seen the sun in a while. Well, 2 years, 4 months, 16 days to be exact, as long as I've been down here. Here is a base on the floor of the Indian Ocean off the coast of Indonesia. There are these things on the bottom of the ocean, these vents, right? Really hot water filters out of them all day. And there are all these like crazy bacteria that live in and around these vents. Crazy isn't the scientific term for them. Resilient is how I usually describe them in my research reports. Anyway, so these bacteria, they don't need sunlight. They don't need oxygen. They don't really seem to need anything but the heat from the vents and whatever is in the water that streams out of them. So some context. A few years back, a big storm drug up a bunch of stuff from the ocean floor and dumped it all on this beach in India. Researchers found all kinds of things in the sludge. New species of plants, a fish once thought extinct, and a single colony of these little bacteria. Anaerobic bacteria, they're called. So they ran some tests on them and bounced around what they could be used for, in healthcare specifically. Bacteria are used for all kinds of things already, you know, medications, allergy treatments, stuff like that. But these bacteria, I don't know the specifics, I'm not an oncologist, but they did some drug trials for cancer patients, and currently 5 people who once had ovarian cancer followed this anaerobic bacteria treatment, and they're cured. Like, not just that their cancer is dormant, it's gone. Forever. So, that's where I come in. I'm a bacterial biologist. There are a few of us stationed at bases around the floor of the Indian Ocean, mostly in coastal regions, collecting data and specimens and sending them back to the surface. It's nice to have my work to distract me, but I miss my friends sometimes. My family, you know, parents, my fellow researchers back at the lab. A message came in this morning from my meteorological contact in Jakarta. Another storm, just like the one that washed up all that gunk on the beach in India, is making its way across the ocean. But this time it's going to pass over my research station. The message was long and complicated, and as I read through it, I knew what the final lines would read before I even got there. And I quote, "Due to the severity of the storm, there will not be time to send a Coast Guard vessel to retrieve you. Please remain in your base until the storm subsides. Godspeed." Bit of an ominous ending, no? Godspeed. See, unlike the bacteria that I study, I do need sunlight and oxygen and all of these kinds of things that are not naturally found on the ocean floor. If this research station detaches or implodes in any way, I am done for. Not a great feeling. All I can do now is sit and wait and hope that unlike the plants and fish and bacteria found on that beach in India, I will not be retrieved from the sludge after the storm subsides.
Ooh.
Mm.
You write such deep stories. I always feel so bad because mine are goofy. Like, water whales think you can't achieve. Then yours are like, they found bacteria that's cured ovarian cancer. I'm like, man, I'm an idiot. I am the dumbest person on this podcast.
Thank you. Be nicer to yourself, but thank you for the compliment. I think it's the sentiment I'm trying to exude here.
Rich in scientific jargon. Oh,
very good. Yes.
So I was inspired by your talk of science class.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I get it now.
Mm. I thought back to learning about anaerobic bacteria with Mr. Buntain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Grade 12 biology.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Good use of Indonesia as well. In mine, I never actually specifically said that she was in Indonesia. I should imply it by saying there was an Indonesian boy and by naming the weird shark, whale, whatever I called it after Indonesia. But
Had to be a reference to Indonesia.
Yeah. Yes. You were very specific too with them being in the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. So I guess we'll start with my story. Tear me apart, guys.
Sure. Well, initial impression of your story. I really liked that you used the word tempest.
Ooh,
that was very good. I feel like we talked about all kinds of great stormy words before. We talked about tornadoes and tsunamis, and obviously we've got a blizzard coming, so I'm thinking about blizzards. But I liked the mention of tempest, very Shakespearean of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's very grand. Yeah, it's epic.
Other little like touches that I really liked, classic like Adam Ganong goofy infusions. So the idea that she's just trying to catch up on all the pop culture she missed while she was in grad school.
Yeah.
I can definitely relate to that. I don't know if this is like inspired by me at all. Maybe it's narcissistic to think that.
Might be, maybe. I don't know.
We've definitely
never been to grad school.
We've definitely had conversations before of how like after I finished grad school, I just like went all in on all the podcasts that I hadn't been listening to.
Yeah.
And just like tore through the back catalogs of all these different shows. One of the first being this very podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Listened to the whole first season of everything that you had available at that time. But so I liked that. Yeah.
Thank you.
I have to appreciate Oscar Maynard. I'm hungry.
Adam,
so
would you like to tell Rodrigo about our ongoing what should we call it? Apartment-wide ban on hot dogs?
Yeah. So here's what happened. This is an ongoing. I'm glad that you picked up on that. I wasn't sure if anyone would pick up. So during my first week of my winter term, when Jenna had moved into this apartment, I was in class and I was very hungry. And as I was driving home, I'd listened to a podcast and they'd mentioned hot dogs. So hot dogs were on my mind, even though I have not eaten them in so long. And so when I was in the store, I was like, you know what I could go for right now? Some hot dogs. So I picked some of those bad boys up. I get them home. I fried them up and I ate the first one. I made two. And I finished the first one. I was like, this was a good idea. I'm so glad I did this. And then like halfway through the second one, I was like, this is the worst idea I've had in my life. I am literally just going to die at the table and Jenna will come home to find my corpse. So you think I learned my lesson, right? But no. The next day at lunch, I'm hungry and I'm like, ooh, I'll get some hot dogs in here. Got to finish those guys off. Again, same thing. First one, I'm like, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. This isn't so bad. Second one, no, thank you. I am done. So I ate the whole pack slowly over time, and it was terrible because I felt so gross every single time I ate them. But then I finished the pack, and one day I was sitting with, I think I was sitting with you and I was talking, and I felt super hungry, and there was just this thought in the back of my head, like, I should pick up some more hot dogs because I really like those.
It was because you still have that jar of banana peppers in the fridge.
Yes.
And you were like, what can I do with these?
Because that's what I was eating them with.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so now it's a running joke that I constantly joke that I'm going to buy more hot dogs. And sometimes it's a joke and sometimes maybe it might be serious. Who knows?
Yes.
So,
but every time I have to shut it down because I seem to be the only one between the two of us who remembers how awful they make you feel.
Yeah. So it's a fun little goof. And that's sometimes when Jenna's talking about food, I toss in that maybe there should be hot dogs added in. And I refer to them as Oscar Mayer sometimes.
OMs.
So OMs, yes. OMs or wieners or, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. So thank you. Glad you picked up on that.
It's a funny thing, you know, how you just come up with names, right? And you take inspiration from just sometimes the unlikeliest of sources. And who would have thought? than the story about aquatic research, he would make reference to OMs.
It's going to catch on, Adam.
Yeah.
So one thing that I wanted to see maybe differently, or what one thing that, again, and we had this, this came up in the spitball story that yes. you wrote last week. When Oscar Maynard was suddenly there, I was like, is this a person that I'm supposed to know? Is this Federation something that I'm supposed to know? So just like in your Android story, where suddenly there's an Android as part yeah. of the action, I think you could have maybe like somehow when she's going through the grant process, maybe, or like talking about her research, maybe you could have woven in some mention of Oscar Maynard mm-hmm. And the International Aquatic Foundation. Maybe they were like the body behind her grant mm-hmm. or something like that. Maybe yeah. you like woven a mention of that into the beginning, because then you would have this nice little bookend of like, they trusted me at the beginning. They gave me all this money to come down here, and now they've come a knocking to right. see what all of this mm-hmm. grant funding is getting them. And it turns out it's just a crazy lady watching Gilmore Girls on the beach. mm-hmm. yeah. So that would be one thing that I would have liked to see earlier in the story.
Yeah. If mm-hmm. if I could do a second pass on it, that's how I would have done it. Because mm-hmm. basically the reason Mr. Maynard is in there is because as I got to the end, I was like, oh yeah, ending. Crap. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's think of something.
Right.
Yeah.
Bit of a deus ex.
Yeah. It's
machina situation.
Right, yeah, and actually, yeah, because you know, she was just given this grant, and it's, yeah, as Jenna was saying, that there's so much of this rich information, valuable information, mm-hmm. At the bottom, mm-hmm. it should be at the top, and then allowing it to trickle down mm-hmm. when we get to the end. But, yeah. Oh, no, I was just echoing what Jenna was saying, and I guess I'll add my own, but I do like this, I really do like the idea of, right, this person who, you know, like, I'm venturing forth for, you know, for science, in the name of science. Mm-hmm. But really, this is some self-care.
Yes, right. I agree. Yeah. I really like Marion Woodsley.
Yeah.
Dr. Marion Woodsley. Yeah. I want to raise her PhD.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
She worked hard for that.
Yeah. Yeah, she's earned this break.
Yeah. For sure.
I like that, you know, now, if the name sounds made up, right, it's just this blunt confession, this nice little, you know, I'm gonna let you in on something.
Okay.
Yeah, if the name sounds, you know, I like, yeah, it's, you know, that's because it was. And then, yeah. Like, okay, like, I see, yeah, that's great. I like that. Yeah,
yeah, I really liked that part.
Yeah.
It's good. Thank you. Glad you guys liked that.
Yeah. But I like the beats. I like mm-hmm. how this story flowed and how it went down. Mm-hmm. And I like how specific it was. Gilmore Girls season 5.
Right.
Yeah.
It was because my parents were just here, and when I was home on Christmas break, they were watching Gilmore Girls. And so that's the only season of Gilmore Girls I've seen because they were watching while I was there.
Oh, that crazy Lorelai. What's she going to do next?
Yep. So one of the things I did poorly in my story, mm-hmm. which you did great, Rodrigo, is I didn't say what she was using for supplies or what she was eating. I did think about saying that she was eating hot dogs down there, but I just ran out of time. And so there's no word, like, I say in the story, like, she intends to stay down there forever, mm-hmm. but I don't say how she intends to do that. But you did mention that she was, like, your character was running low on supplies and, like, mm-hmm. how they were getting supplies, which was very well mm-hmm. done.
Yes. I was imagining that it was just rations. Mm-hmm. Ration packs of some kind had been factored into her grant.
Mm-hmm. Or she had been consuming pop culture.
Rodrigo, that English degree pays for itself every day.
Oh, yeah. Some big returns. Mm. But that yeah, right. That's funny. What is she living on?
Yeah, it's another thing about this format. It's hard to nail down any specifics of these worlds.
Yes.
You sort of you have to make some really snap judgments about, like, what does not need to be said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just assume. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Rodrigo, one of the things I really liked about yours is, like, the opening paragraph where he's talking about him buying something with his credit card, and then he's like, doesn't matter, not even going to need to pay for this. Mm-hmm. Such a good idea. I also love the idea of, like, a collections agency calling him and him being like, sorry, can't talk about the pass underneath the coral reef. Yeah. I have to call you back.
Yeah, I loved your opening sentence. If I can even narrow it down a little bit more, and your performance of it, just the way, I don't know, you just gave it and it sounded so good. And I just got immediately so excited about what was to come in the story. And I held on to the image of this robot and I kept waiting for it to resurface and then to have it come back at the end. And the fact that it was, you know, all that we know about it so far is that it was built to last and then it's broken and not working and just saying smile on the screen. I was like, oh, what a satisfying callback, like so perfectly constructed. I really, really, and such a good performance. We've said this already.
Yeah.
Such a good performance.
Such a good performance.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I love that you took the idea of it being like very cheap, where it doesn't even have like emotions. It just has words that are coming up and you use the smile one. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very yes. funny.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Great use of the storms rule as well. Yes. Saying that was why he had gone underwater. The planet had become too hot. And so the storms had grown only more devastating. I love that. Very, very good.
Was this planet Earth?
Yeah, this is planet Earth. Yeah. So mm-hmm. this is all happening on Earth. And I just tell you, it's set in the near future, so mm-hmm. it's not too science fiction, but it's getting there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a little bit of a warning message in there for us.
Yeah, but I you know, talking about these callbacks, I always appreciate, you know, my own taste of stories, and you know, I always appreciate those details, right? That mm-hmm. that when you know, a writer put something there,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're just like, oh, I wonder. Mm-hmm. Is this? I always find this so. I always don't, you know, I don't like when you know you read something, you're like, oh, why was that mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, because sometimes it can work as a oh, well, I'm, you know, I'm establishing place, I'm establishing atmosphere, but sometimes right. you're like, okay, yeah, but what mm-hmm. else about it? And so
yes, yeah. exactly,
what does it drive in the narrative?
And when you introduce a robot that is allegedly built to last,
yes,
I absolutely need to know more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the way you wove it back in at the end was so satisfying.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a bookend going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already mentioned it, but the title being the last thing in it, and also the title being from our discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Very, very good. Yeah.
I thought, you know, I think for someone, you know, who lives underwater and who, you know, commits himself to not only living underwater, but just away from everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, just not even like the storm, you know, I had this detail of there's more happening, you know, besides the storms, there's something happening at home. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's, yeah, I think, you know, something like that, someone who does that can only have a sad ending. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was halfway through your performance as well that I realized that the rule called for a scuba diver.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Which technically none of us wrote about a scuba diver.
Oh, we totally messed up.
I am comfortable giving ourselves a pass because we still went with the idea of somebody who's committed to live underwater, which yes. I think is the most interesting mm-hmm. image from that rule anyway.
Yeah. Right.
But there's no explicit scuba in any of our stories.
Retcon.
Yeah, you'll play it back.
just brackets. Marion Woodsley.
Or like
Dr. Marion Woodsley.
Microsoft Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Marion Woodsley. Scuba diver.
Yeah. Who loved scuba diving? Her one true passion in life.
Very funny.
Oh, well.
Yes. Like I said, I will give us all a pass.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because I feel like sometimes...
There was just a lot going on in that prompt, and we just forgot about it.
Yes.
Because we didn't add it to the brainstorming. Mm-hmm. Whoops.
Yes. So, no scuba diver in your story, Rodrigo, but I will not hold it against you because there's no scuba in anybody's stories.
But there was a mention of a great song, which is Under the Sea.
Yeah.
As soon as
true.
You said Under the Sea, mm-hmm. I started like thinking about the song in my head, and I was like kind of giggling to myself, and then you were like, just like the song.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
It was so good. Yeah.
I also like that. I assume this was maybe on purpose a little bit, but like he goes underwater to be a free man, but then in the end he's a prisoner to his own submarine, which mm-hmm. is his demise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hadn't even actually. Yeah,
that's right, Adam.
That's, yeah.
Yes, I meant to do that.
And now 10th grade English students can look at this story and see the symbolism there.
Yes,
and be forced to write essays on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I loved your inclusion of Indonesia as like a white whale as well as this sort of thing that he had he'd strived to reach Indonesia.
Yes.
But had never done it. Yeah.
And I like that you got the brochure in there. Very good.
Yes.
Yeah. I just imagine someone just collecting a bunch of brochures, you know, but not even because it happened all at once, but one of the things that as time goes on, you keep just collecting information, like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And you keep just kind of collecting on your, you know, nightstand or something. And you're just like, yeah, one day, you know, I'm going to do it. And I just have this like sad image of these brochures, you know, ranging from like, you know, like 2002 to like 2010.
I want to know more about this character now. Yeah. And in my mind, the sad tragedy of his life, he works at a travel agency.
So here,
they're all brochures that he's bringing home.
Watching people
but
leave.
But he's afraid of flying.
He's afraid.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to mention. You painted a very good character. Like, I want to know more about him. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was imagining is that he goes from travel agency to travel agency because they're so rare now and goes inside. And it's like, what do you have for brochures? Can I take a look? And then whenever they try and pitch him anything, he's like, no, I don't like flying. Yeah. You don't understand.
He gets so excited by the pitch.
Yeah.
And like this person at the agency is just so excited because they're like, okay, great, I'm going to seal the deal. Like
can I get your credit card number, sir?
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, but I don't fly.
I will need to get there by boat.
Yeah. Submarine, if you got one.
Yeah.
Is there a cargo ship I could just hop on?
Set me up in a shipping container and I will see you on the other side of the Pacific.
That would be pretty funny. Just a guy going into a bunch of travel agencies and sitting them down and be like, what do you have for submarines?
Yeah. All right, Adam, any final thoughts?
Great story. Very well done. Good. And I know that this is a difficult format to write in. You did a very good job with writing a concise story that had like a satisfying beginning and a satisfying ending. Mm-hmm. So very good job, Rodrigo.
Thank you.
I loved it. Great performance.
Yeah. As I said earlier, it is like such a different format to write in. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
that like I at the beginning I'm like, I don't know where to begin.
Yeah, but we're used to it by now, obviously, through the show, and we'll practice.
I've done it hundreds of times now.
Yeah.
Okay, Jenna, your story. Love the vernacular of the character.
Thank you.
You did a very good job of like adding in likes and stuff that the character's saying, and what else? There was one specific one I really liked. Or saying like, these vents, right? Stuff like that. Just a very well done characterization, which you're very good at because you excel at the monologue format.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, I like the monologue. I find the monologue to be very challenging to write because you can't so easily set up information without just kind of shoehorning it in there, right?
Right, yes.
And so I thought it flowed very well and it felt very natural that, you know, she's saying these things and using, as I said, rich scientific, like, jargon and just the terms and you performed it with, like, just an ease, like, oh, these aren't, you know, these aren't hard words I'm pulling. These are just the, you know, just the words I use in my everyday vocabulary. So, yeah. But no, I liked it,
Yeah, and the way it was formatted as well, it was very good, kind of like Rodrigo just mentioned, where you did have all these very big, science-y kind of sounding words, but I didn't find myself losing interest or feeling lost or confused at any point because the tone was just so kind of playful. Mm. Not goofy necessarily, but playful.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. One of the things I really liked last couple lines, where she says, I hope I didn't end up like the sludge, like the last sludge. I thought that was pretty good. I like that kind of callback.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to write this one. It was very natural. Rodrigo was talking about how it just kind of flowed out. And that's definitely how I felt. At the beginning, I was like staring at this blank page and it was really overwhelming me. But once I put that first sentence down, it just never really stopped.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah.
Also, I noticed no scuba diver.
There is no scuba diver. No OMs.
No OMs. That's fine. It's such a tight story. I don't know what else I can really say about it. I really liked the tone of it. Just like, it was just a very interesting tone because like I said, it was so different than mine because it was like, it was very serious. Mm-hmm. But also, like I said, it had a very playful voice to it.
I like that opening sentence.
Thank you.
That establishes, it's not so bad down here most days. That's very, that most days is so important.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you know it's a bad day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That catches our interest, right? It's like, oh, okay. Well, it's a mystery. Like, just by itself, right?
Right.
Where are we, you know, it's not so bad down here.
Ooh. Where are you?
Yeah, where are you most days? Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Thank you. Stunned the room. Brought the audience to their knees. My audience of two.
So one of the things I thought could have been like a clearer tone is I found when I was listening to it, it wasn't 100% clear the idea that she was going to stay down there forever.
Okay.
I feel like there could have been a, like more right on the head. I'm never going to leave here.
Mm-hmm.
Because with this, it just sounded like she was down there for a work term and she was going to stay down there for a while, but it was just she was down there researching and then she'd be done.
Right. And again, the rule, they've committed to a life underwater.
Yeah.
Not a scuba diver, not committed to a life underwater. Committed to part of a life underwater.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And you could stretch it and say like there was a possibility she was going to be underwater forever because she might die. So there's that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she like in going underwater, there's like this acceptance that it's kind of dangerous. And so it could be life. Could be a life sentence that she goes under there if a storm like this blows through.
Yeah.
But yes, I will. This story, I think I will maybe revisit, maybe work on it again. That's a good thought. You know, I think I could inject that feeling into it a little more.
I can see yourself challenging yourself because you're saying that you tend to write monologues.
Mm-hmm.
And you could challenge yourself and turning this into more of a third person narrative.
Ooh.
And so all that jargon, all this developing, you know, the circumstances could be your challenge in developing that in the third person. How do you describe all that, you know, with elegance and but while still maintaining this character's
That sounds like a rule to me.
That's a really good challenge.
Yeah.
I like that.
We're going to have a part two of this episode.
We'll do
and I'll
follow
switch
up.
Mine into first.
Ooh. Yeah, I like that idea.
And we get to find out a little bit more about Dr. Marion Woodsley.
Coming in part two someday, maybe.
With 100% more hot dogs.
No, 0%.
Okay, 0% more hot dogs.
I'm guess you can get like a George Foreman grill and put it in the corner.
That's the wiener station.
And just a bunch of hot dogs.
Wait, can we get them as a sponsor?
Oscar Mayer, hit us up. We tweet at the Rules Podcast.
I know that we've kind of slammed your product a little bit, but you know. We can change our tune. Talk about George Foreman. Let's get some of those George Washingtons.
Mm-hmm. That could be the foreman of the ad. You could be convincing me to eat hot dogs.
Yeah. And then you're like, yeah, I misjudged hot dogs. These are good. These are real great.
That would be an audio treat for our listeners.
Oh,
just the
yes.
sound of me vomiting hot dogs.
Guys, I don't feel so good.
Oh,
I don't
no.
like the idea of that.
Oh, me neither. I don't want to make you do the Foley on that either.
Oh, no. I could do it.
Oh, you could. I don't want to make you do it. All right. Any final thoughts about my story?
Very good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
No, Thank you.
The tone. I saw another line I really liked. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so these bacteria. Great sentence.
Thank you. Yeah. That one I actually added in editing.
Ooh,
yeah,
very
I didn't
nice.
Have it just sort of ran together because I had like kind of gone off on a little branch before, and I was like, "Ooh, I need to bring that home." So anyway, these bacteria. Yeah.
I wish that maybe we would have added more whales into our stories. I also thought, although again, it's not a scuba diver, but we weren't very good at that, anyways. Little story about Jonah.
Ooh.
Jonah is in the belly of this great fish, and he's like, you know what? I think I'm just going to stay here forever. This ain't so bad.
Yeah. Oh.
It turns out the whale has also swallowed a full living room set.
And a TV.
Yeah.
With a DVD player and all it has, Gilmore Girls season 5. They did not tell you that in the Bible.
Yeah.
But he was just watching Gilmore Girls in there.
Yeah, that. Yeah, and it works because there's an extreme weather. Maybe he lost track of time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's supposed to be going to Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yes, I better head out. And then God's like, Jonah, you're literally in Indonesia right now. Even though that's not what this country's called at this moment. Honestly, you lost track of time that bad? Like, sorry, man. Lorelei, though, you know?
So crazy.
Careful, I haven't watched season 6 yet. Don't spoil anything.
Now, that's a part 2 that I want. I want to watch. People like getting really upset about the fate of Gilmore Girls and like praying about it. And God's like, no, 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 no.
I just DVR'd that. I've been busy. Haven't you noticed how crazy things are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this character.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, as someone who just has passing knowledge of Gilmore Girls, mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, yeah, season 6.
Ooh, really goes off the rails, am
is
I right?
There? Please tell me there is a season 6.
Yes.
Okay.
And it goes off the rails.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Yep. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
So before we go, Rodrigo, thank you so much for being on. You classed up the place.
Yes, you really did. You brought us a violent silence here in the studio tonight.
Which will be the name of the episode, for sure.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Oh,
great. I'm glad I could provide an episode title.
Yeah. Thank you.
Points for that. 2 points.
Two points. I hope that puts me in the lead.
Yeah, it does. Me and Jenna both only have 2, and now you have 4.
Ooh, yeah. We are not great at keeping score, and there is no reward for winning, but you are in the lead. Yeah. So.
And if you're anything like Jenna, it means that you literally are going to someday be a host on the show. So
clear your schedule is what I'm saying. So, Rodrigo, once again, thank you so much for being on the show. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you in studio to hear your story. Where can we find you online? And what would you like to tell us about your work?
Well, you can find me online at joyfulmagpies.com. I review theater, and I write articles from time to time on there, and you can read the reviews and learn more about Canadian theater and dance artists.
Thank you so much.
Great. Yeah, well, thank you for wandering into our apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was serendipitous.
Yes,
mm-hmm. We had 3 mics set up and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
So weird how that happens.
Yeah.
Really makes you think.
Yeah. Really keeps you up at night. All right. I think we're good to go. I think we're done. You guys feel good?
I feel good.
I feel great.
Feel satisfied?
I do. Mm-hmm,
very.
Fitting conclusion to the podcast?
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you to Cameron, Jessica, and Laura for providing us with the rules today. Cameron, so sorry we very badly messed up your rule. If you have any rules you'd like us to use, please send them to us. You can pass them along to us on our Facebook page. Or tweet them to us. We tweet at The Rules Podcast.
This episode has been produced by me, Jenna Noor.
And me, Adam Gadong.
Dave Kiney is our marketing mogul, assistant producer, and resident Cubs archivist.
Philip Hall is our chief art architect, or art-kitect, as Jenna cleverly pointed out. You can find past episodes of the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or wherever else you find your podcast episodes.
If you like the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. It would mean the world to us.
And with that, we are out.